Blog Talk Radio.
Well, I'll be damned. It works, we think. Good evening and welcome to Erie House Radio, number 813. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Yeah, we'll see if it stays with us. Hey, Big Little Wayne, this really bad movie, and Spaceship One, and we're here with the talented, the brilliant, and the lovely...
An irreplaceable CW here.
Done right.
Thank you. Hoping that Blog Talk will let us get through the entire...
Yeah, you're irreplaceable, but Blog Talk is not. Keep that in mind. Dave and I may have found a suitable and perhaps quite superior replacement.
Ooh.
You're on notice, Blog Talk. If you notice I'm downloading everything from the library, you got a problem.
But don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
Oh, I am taking a mental dump right now on these guys because I've had it. After last night, nobody could get into the studio, not by phone, not by Direct Connect, not by two paper cups and a length of string. It just wasn't happening.
Yep.
So I guess it looks like good old Bob can hear us. That's great. He's live in the chat. He can let us know, hopefully, that he can hear us or we're not just talking to ourselves.
He says he has a stream, so we're good.
Yeah, well...
Tonight.
I'm happy when I do at my age, let me tell you.
Ouch.
Sometimes it's ouch. But we've got survival is supposed to be our theme for the weekend. So if you missed last night's show, you're one of everybody because there wasn't a show. We're doing it again tomorrow. We decided to reschedule yesterday's show for tomorrow, Sunday, 6:30 Eastern. Since you're used to that time slot, why not?
Why not indeed?
Why not? To be sure, why not?
So we're aggravated about the whole situation, but we're just going to plow forward with fine entertainment with an episode tonight from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
That's right. Good old E.G. Marshall is back once again to see what he can to either intrigue us or terrify us, one or the other or both.
Yep. So we're hosting a hosted show. Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
The host with the most. The most host.
We have the most hosts and ghosts from coast to coast, or at least on the North Coast.
So.
That's no boast.
Neither, absolutely. So neither earthquake nor total eclipse nor Blog Talk can keep us from
Blog Talk is toast.
Broadcasting this.
Sorry.
Yep, we're just trying to survive Blog Talk this weekend here, and we're moving right along where we should be.
Yes,
they
eclipsed our ability to perform yesterday, and we are quite dismayed, but. Again, Sally Forth and Onward and so on stuff.
Oh, my.
Boy, Blog Talk better not pull this crap when we do our Flintstone show. I mean, that is going to be fun.
No, because that's coming up pretty soon here now.
2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
2 weeks.
Well, yabba dabba do to Blog Talk, and that's as harsh as my language will get.
And I can't promise anything. Someone here can, but I can't. If we're going to be doing Flintstones, I imagine Ugg may raise his head during that show that weekend as well.
That would be a good place for Ugg, that's for sure.
I think he might pop his head up. We don't know for sure. Can't promise it yet.
We do not know.
But Snowman James joining us in the chat. Thank you. If you tried yesterday, Snowman, you may have heard Blog Talk, I don't know, the squirrel. They didn't feed the squirrel that runs the generator. I don't know.
That's
but we're here to
I heard that the hamster went on strike. I think is what I heard.
The hamster went on strike.
That's what a goat just told me.
We worked so hard to get the hamster here. We got him through the DEI part of our team. And
oh, gosh.
We got a hamster. So, Garb joins us in the chat.
It's somebody else's turn to clean that hamster cage, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed well, never mind. Yeah, nobody was fighting for that job, let me tell you.
Nobody was, yeah.
Man, I know it. Gara Gold joins us live, too, in the chat. Thank you for joining us, Gar, as he prepares for Horrible Horror starring Gara the Ghoul. That'll be all right after this show at 8 o'clock Eastern.
Yep, yep.
And, if you're listening live.
An interesting tale of survival today. I can't give away too much because then that ruins the story, so I'm not going to.
Good, because these are quite good stories that we get from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Again, I kick myself for not being a listener back then. I get to enjoy them now. That is wonderful, but I'm giving myself a good swift kick.
Well, but you know what? I couldn't listen to everyone back then because they were on after my bedtime. And so we had to sneak in and tape it at night. I'm sure my parents knew we were doing that, my brother and I, when we could, you know. I'm sure they knew we were doing that, except, you know, what harm is there in listening to all those old great old radio programs, you know?
Yes. I'll bet they knew too, Dave, because, you know, you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool mom.
You can never fool mom. Nope.
You can't fool mom.
Nope. You can't fool mom. Thank you, Captain Penny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there technically were no captains on a train, but that's okay.
Yep. And let's go ahead and begin with our episode, The Lone Survivor from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Ooh, let's pick up that date. Let's see. Let's make these things go away here. There we go. Right
here. Episode number two.
It is episode number 569, and it comes to us from December 21st of 1976.
News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Whether by summer glancing up at the contrails or by winter hearing the muted everyday roar of takeoff or landing, the great gray ghosts which prowl the upper reaches of our skies are always with us. The airplane is a constant in all of our lives, and constant is a good word. So seldom, so very seldom, does anything halt their appointed rounds. Except that, like all things that man has built, they are not perfection. That is the attribute of God alone, no matter how hard man strives.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your hostess, Pamela Winters. There has been a temporary failure in our pressure system, and for your comfort and safety, Captain Chip Ames, our pilot, is making an unusually rapid descent. Do not be alarmed. This sudden descent is merely a safety measure. Please be sure that your safety belts are fastened and that all cigarettes are extinguished. Most of all, don't worry. There is no danger.
Our mystery drama, The Lone Survivor, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
It is a magic moment. You are at your Buick dealer's, about to drive home in your brand new Buick LeSabre. It's lean and trim, classic lines. It looks quite unlike any full-size Buick you can remember. You get in. A heady new car smell surrounds you. Your LeFevre feels the way it looks, tight. You turn the wheel a little. No wasted motion in this car. Big brushed metallic gauges look back at you. That V6 engine is doing great. You rub your hand on the seat. Six people could be really comfortable in here. You swing into your driveway. Your wife, the kids, the dog, everyone but the parakeet descends in the car and gets in. Off you go to nowhere in particular. Life and your new LeSabre are great. Maybe the dog shouldn't sit on the seats.
Northwest Federal Savings has just moved its office at Harlem and Irving to new larger quarters in the enclosed Harlem and Irving Mall. And you're invited to a moving celebration at all five convenient Northwest locations with over 30 name brand gifts. Make your move to your neighborhood Northwest Federal now, and you could add life to your home with a Boston fern plant, or select a handy pair of Whisk scissors, or Presto Burger, the easiest burger maker around, or pick up a Kodak Pocket Tele-Instamatic camera outfit. Now, those are just a few of the moving gifts in store for you, all free or available for special reduced prices when you save $250 or more. So join in the moving celebration and make your move to your neighborhood Northwest Federal Savings Center soon, because this moving celebration will be moving away on January the 17th. One gift per family, please.
Northwest Federal Savings Time, 63 hours a week.
Most of us have flown at one time or another, secure in the knowledge that no matter what butterflies we may feel on occasion, we are using the safest method of transport in the world. And that includes simply walking across the street. But there is that special word, but. But nothing in life is inescapable. And there is the occasion when any of us may be caught in any kind of accident, just as terrifying and dangerous as this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have dropped the oxygen mask because of the speed of our descent. Simply place them over your nose and mouth and breathe normally. Please be ready to lock your hands in front of your face as shown in the manual and brace yourself against the seat in front of you. In case of an emergency landing, hold your seat until you receive instructions over this PA. Should it fail, please note the nearest emergency exit.
Ladies and gentlemen of the press, I am J.P. Henderson, Vice President in charge of operations for Federal Airlines. This is a bulletin on the status quo. One of our planes, bound for the Hawaiian Islands, encountered the phenomenon known as clear air turbulence, as you've already been informed. There's no sense mincing words. Apparently, the plane, after ditching, broke up or sank. To the best of our belief, there's only one survivor, presently in the intensive care unit in the hospital here. I wish I had more to report. It's useless to ask questions because I have no answers. I'm sorry. Has he come to, Dr. Setchfield?
Yes, Mr. Henderson, he's conscious.
Who is he?
I don't know.
You mean he's still so anesthetized?
We didn't have to anesthetize him. The man's injuries are minor. Miraculous. There's nothing really the matter with him except...
Except what?
He doesn't know who he is. Classic amnesia.
You mean
He suffered brain damage.
No, absolutely not. No evidence of any concussion or other somatic injury. No evidence of nerve involvement.
Well, then how? Why?
Amnesia is a law unto itself, Mr. Henderson. Psychologically, if the trauma is severe enough, any individual is capable of short-circuiting his whole mnemonic system and blocking out something that he does not prefer to remember. If you had been through the experience that our Mr. X suffered, wouldn't you perhaps try to pretend it never happened?
Block out the happening, okay, but well, surely he can remember who he was, why he was on the plane, where he was headed for.
The mind can't always be that selective. The man you are interested in doesn't even remember getting on the plane, where he was going, or why he was going, or who he was before he did, or who he is now.
Could I ask him a few questions?
Oh, I don't think he's ready for that.
Can I examine whatever effects he had with him when he was admitted to the hospital?
Not very well.
What does that mean?
Mr. Henderson, when our patient was picked out of the Pacific by the helicopter, he was naked as the day he was born. Any identification you want to make will have to be strictly from his birthday suit.
We'll have other ways of pinning him down.
Of course you will. And, second thought, there's no real reason why you can't see Mr. X. He's in no physical danger, and you can't hurt him as long as you go easy. I'll go in with you if you like, but I'm due in OR in about 15 minutes.
I'd appreciate having you there. I think maybe I ought to check out any little thing he might remember. Hello.
Hello.
I'm J.P. Henderson, Federal Airlines. The airline on which you were flying when the accident occurred. Do you remember the accident?
No.
I'm sorry to trouble you under the circumstances, but, well, it's an unusual state of affairs. As I said, I'm J.P. Henderson. May I ask your name?
Oh, you can ask it. I can only give you the same answers I give the doctors. I don't know.
I see. And you don't remember anything about the accident?
Not a thing. Mr. Henderson, I don't remember anything until the moment I woke up in this hospital bed.
I think we ought to let this gentleman have his rest, Mr. Henderson.
Of course. I'm sorry to have bothered you, Mr. Sir.
The person who bothers me most is me. Doctor?
Yes?
Supposing I don't remember who I am after a good night's rest.
Oh, it may take a little time, but you will.
No. Supposing I still don't. How do I find out?
Well, I'm sure I, or rather the airline, can render that service.
How?
At the moment, as my patient, I suggest that you just relax and allow nature to restore your memory. Oh,
thanks for the kind words. I don't know how much they help. How soon can I get out of here?
Well, is there any hurry?
Oh, I don't know. I just have this... I don't like to be sick or dealt with as a patient.
Well, in your particular case, I wouldn't like it any more than you. But let's face facts. If I released you, where would you go?
I guess I don't know.
Yes, Gloria?
Sure.
I got all the reports. Found them on my desk as soon as I got back from the hospital. Good girl.
Who?
I don't know it.
Oh, FBI. Yeah, I've been expecting they'd nose into it.
Send them in.
Isn't one headache, it's another.
Mr. Drummond, come right in.
Yeah, thanks. FBI, my credentials.
Very impressive. Sit down.
I'll just look around a moment.
Be my guest. Speaking of which, I'll offer you something to drink.
I never drink on the job.
What can I do for you?
You got a plane down. How come?
One in a million coincidence. Mechanical failure and atmospheric conditions beyond our control.
You say?
No.
The pilot. You can listen to the tapes. I have them right here.
We will, at first. How can you be sure there was no foul play?
Communications. Until the moment he ditched the plane, the pilot was in touch by radio with the tower.
Why'd he ditch?
At 33,000 feet, there was a rupture in the fuselage. We can't account for that. Cabin pressure was dropping so rapidly that the pilot brought the plane down in a steep dive to an altitude where the passengers could breathe normally. But at 10,000, as he started to level off, he hit a freak situation.
Skyjacker, bomb, saboteur?
No. A phenomenon known as clear air turbulence. Under normal conditions, if he hadn't been at the decline ratio he was posed in, he could have handled the plane. But a huge downdraft forced him to ditch on the water. Wave heights were 6 to 8 feet. The plane broke up.
No survivors?
Only one.
What's his name?
I've just come from the hospital. He couldn't tell me.
Yeah, he injured that bad.
No. He has some bruises. Possible cracked ribs, some slight facial abrasions. Otherwise, he's fully conscious. Except for one thing.
What?
He can't remember his name.
Oh, come on.
I'm perfectly serious. He doesn't know who he is or anything that happened up until the moment he came into the hospital. He has amnesia.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be handled. We'll get his name.
It won't be necessary.
How come?
We've had people up all night checking on the passenger list. His name is Theodore Mason Williams.
Address?
17061 Parthenia.
You say he hasn't been completely accounted for. Haven't you checked his home?
I was just about to try again when you arrived. His phone hasn't been answering.
Anyone who should?
He's married. We believe he has a wife.
Or had.
What does that mean?
How come he was traveling alone to Hawaii?
He might have been on business of some sort.
Of some sort, yeah. Look, I'm only checking this like maybe there was some federal problem. I still don't know there isn't. But you're in my profession as many years as I've been. You get a long nose.
Hmm. What does that mean?
Something smells funny. If I was you, I'd start digging up that wife fast, get the local police in on it. I mean, this thing has had a lot of publicity. Papers, TV, radio and all. How come Mrs. Williams hasn't been on the pipe or worried about her hubby, huh? Maybe you're really gonna have to dig her up.
I don't follow you.
Put it all together, Mr. Anderson. Guy on a lone trip to Hawaii. Little woman left behind. Big plane crash. Looks like everyone bought it. And her wife doesn't even check in to see if her hubby did, too. On top of that, hubby turns up alive in a hospital. Only he claims he don't know who he is. Well, wouldn't you figure there was something screwy going on here?
Well, would you? Or are you scarcely as cynical as Mr. Roscoe Drummond of the FBI? Do you really believe that Mr. Theodore Williams has that sometimes most convenient of disorders, amnesia? And if he hasn't, why should he fake it? Most intriguing and chilling of all is finding Mrs. Williams. I shall return shortly with Act Two.
Put your trust in what you feel. Put your trust in what is real. Give your cold rest to contact. Real medicine for real cold.
Here in my hand is a little capsule. It's tiny, yet it contains enough cold medicine to help relieve cold symptoms caused by every known virus. It's Contact, the same 12-hour Contact you can buy. This year, Contact, with its tiny time pills, will touch more lives, help more colds than any other cold medicine, tablet or liquid. Think about that the next time you're sick, sneezing, dripping, or clogged up. Then let us help you with real medicine, like contact. We're number one in the whole world.
If you're cold to contact, real medicine.
There's a shop with a friendly old-fashioned Cracker Barrel atmosphere right on the magnificent mile of North Michigan Avenue. It's Hickory Farm's specialty food shop, and their grand opening is going on right now. Take a stroll through and sample Hickory Farm's delicious cheeses. There are 126 different kinds, and they're all cut fresh from the wheel. And don't forget to pick up their famous beef stick sausage, too. And for the bread lover, Hickory Farm has loaves of real Jewish rye bread that weigh 30 pounds each. Hickory Farms at Water Tower Place is perfect for all your holiday parties and get-togethers with specialty foods, candies, party trays, and snacks. Looking for an unusual Christmas gift for a special someone on your list? Well, Hickory Farms offers you delicious food gift packs at reasonable prices. Come to the grand opening of Hickory Farms on the 7th floor of Water Tower Place. And be sure to ask for Carla, the manager. Or if you're in the suburbs, try Hickory Farms at Woodfield Shopping Center, Yorktown Shopping Center, and Laker Shopping Center. That's Hickory Farms. We have laid word on the hijack attempt at San Francisco International Airport. There is a confirmed report that the hijacker, identified now as United Airlines mechanic Palm J. Hinnant, fired a single shot inside the aircraft. No one was injured. Reporters and policemen on the scene say Hinnant fired the shot, apparently to demonstrate that he had a working weapon and meant business. The hijacker is now asked to be joined by his girlfriend and a male friend. His intentions, however, still are not clear. Now back to the Mystery Theater.
There you go. Details at 11.
Hey, Neil, remember when Hickory Farms used to be known as Hickory Farms of Ohio?
Yes, I used to work there at Randall Park Mall. It was one of my first jobs as a teen in the mall, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Many, many years ago. I'm going to say that was probably 75, 76, maybe.
Yep. Yeah, they dropped the of Ohio for some reason, but maybe so it would have more of an international flair or something, you know?
Yep.
Oh, yes. Hickory Farms for that international flair.
Yeah. I got to know all the people that worked at the mall regularly, and in particular, it paid off at the movie theater, which is how I was able to afford, for free, to see Star Wars probably 20 times. In 1977, I probably saw the original, you know, A First Hope, I think they call it now. It was just called Star Wars then.
A New Hope. A New Hope. It's A New Hope.
A New Dope. All right. Something like that.
A New Hope.
Yes, yes, yes. I know. I'm being facetious. And old. mostly old. Good story here. You think he bumped off his wife in an elaborate plan and took a plane load of people with her? I don't know.
Yeah, the FBI guys, they're kind of suspicious, aren't they?
No,
brutally
kidding.
So.
He's a real faulty character.
Yeah, he's somebody's guilty. I know it. Damn it.
But wait, something happens in second act that kind of confuses that.
That'll be interesting. That's coming up shortly. Hopefully, maybe we'll have a little time for some bonus material. One never knows. But it's usually the case around here.
Still keeping our fingers crossed that Blog Talk won't conk out.
Yeah, so far so good, it looks like. So far so good.
Yep.
We're hanging in there. Usually, by now we would have gotten some hint, although stranger things have happened. It's all right. We're going to ride the wave, gang. Remember the Alamo. As we get into part two.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Yes, it's kind of late for that. Plane's already crashed. From
water
radio.
Yep. Water isn't necessarily a great landing pad.
Here you go. And here's part two of The Lone Survivor.
Some hours have passed while Mr. J.P. Henderson of Federal Airlines has been busy holding off the press, meeting with the CAB and other agencies automatically involved in a major disaster, instigating constant phone checks on Mrs. Williams, all unanswered, and finally calling in the city police. Meanwhile, at the hospital, Dr. Malcolm Sedgefield is patiently trying to bring the survivor out of his lost world by cautious and gentle free association.
You don't remember before the crash?
No, Doctor.
Or the crash itself?
No.
Or being in the water, struggling to keep afloat?
No.
Taking off your clothes so you could swim more freely?
No.
Or the helicopter picking you up?
Oh, come on. This is just a waste of time. I don't remember anything, even my own name, for Pete's sake.
All right. Now let's just take it easy. Why don't we try some indirect questions? I'm just going to shoot some words at you. All I ask you to do is to react without thinking. Reflexes, all right?
Yeah, I know what free association is.
Just answer the first thing that comes into your head, Yeah. Crash.
Plane.
Water.
Cold.
Black.
White.
Winter.
Summer.
Wife.
Husband.
Mother.
Father.
Name.
Title.
First name.
Second name.
Second name.
Family.
Heart.
Son.
Son.
Father.
Father's name.
David.
David who?
Don't know.
Rain.
Umbrella.
Umbrella.
Dry.
Dry.
Warm.
Dead.
Woman.
Wife.
Woman.
Her name?
Mrs. Whose name?
The woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your wife.
What wife?
You were going to tell me her name.
What? I don't know what you mean. Look, Doctor, I've had enough of this. There's nothing wrong with me except I can't remember some things, okay? Now, I've been that way after a hangover, and I want to get out of here.
No. I'm afraid we can't let you go yet.
Why? What have you got on me?
We haven't got anything on you. But you are the result of a major accident that killed everyone but you. So naturally, we have to keep you under medical observation for a while.
Observation? Okay. But I don't have to be in this hospital. I want out.
Where would you go?
I don't know. A hotel, a motel. Where are my clothes and things?
You see, that's the whole point. You haven't any clothes or things.
Well, you mean you found me naked? No clothes? No money? In a wallet or something?
When the helicopter picked you up, you were stripped to the buff. So let's be practical. If we were to let you go, where would you go? Without clothes, money, or any identity?
Now, you mean honestly that nobody has the slightest idea who I am?
Well, not exactly. The airline has checked out the ticket reservations and established who was on board. So by the process of elimination, they're now pretty sure who you must be.
Who?
I'd hope the name would come from you. But all right. Does the name Theodore Mason Williams strike a chord?
Should it?
It appears to be your name.
How do you know? How can you prove it?
Because you... If Mr. Williams is who you are, you have a wife. And just as soon as the police find her, we'll bring her in to identify you.
Police? Why the police?
At the moment, nobody has been able to find your wife. She appears to be missing.
Yes, Dr. Sedgefield.
Oh, Mr. Henderson, I've just come from questioning our mystery patient and running the most basic of psychiatric tests on him.
And?
I'm afraid I didn't learn much.
He still has amnesia?
Yes, apparently.
And he still hasn't said his name or who he is?
No. And I must say, it seems to me you, at your end, could provide the answer to those questions more easily by having his wife, if she is his wife, identify him for sure.
Of course. Trouble is, we haven't yet found the lady in question.
Oh, well, then perhaps the police should be called in.
They already have, Dr. Sedgefield. Detective Lieutenant Dominic Calisi is with me now. He has a... What do they call it again, Lieutenant?
APB, All Points Bulletin.
Yes, an APB out for Mrs. Williams right now. He expects to find her soon, and Excuse me just a minute. Oh, Lieutenant Calise would like to talk to you for a moment, Doctor.
Thanks. What's his handle?
Sedgefield.
Yeah, Dr. Sedgefield?
Yes, speaking.
This here is Detective Lieutenant Calise, City Police. I want to ask you a favor, Doc.
Well, of course, any way I can help.
Well, I'd like to send over a police photographer to take a shot of your patient there. Any reason why not?
No, I don't think so far as I or the hospital is concerned. Because we don't want to excite the patient.
Oh, no. We won't disturb him, Doc. No flash, no light. He don't even have to know his picture's being taken.
Well, I don't think the hospital could go along with that. I mean, isn't that invasion of privacy? After all, we have been keeping the press out.
Mm-hmm. At his request?
Well, no, but I have the feeling that...
A feeling? Let's write on facts, Doc. I'll send you over a photographer, a fingerprint man, and you check out your patient, see if he's got any objection. Now, if he has, we'll take it from there, okay?
Well, very well. I suppose I have no objection. We'll do it your way, Lieutenant.
No, sir. No, sir, Dr. Sedgefield. Absolutely not.
Well, now, it's only a picture. I'm sure if the lieutenant wanted to, he could get a court order.
No, it isn't only a picture. It's fingerprints. I don't want my fingerprints taken.
Well, there's no criminal suggestion. It's only to try to identify you.
I thought you said you'd turned up a wife of mine, or someone you said was my wife.
But it's got to be your wife, since this Mrs. Williams had a husband traveling on the plane, and you're the only man on the plane who hasn't been fully accounted for, so... Who else could you be?
I tell you, I don't know.
But don't you see, even though your wife is missing for the moment, a picture of you in the papers could be recognized by someone else in your family or among your friends. Or your fingerprints
yeah.
might lead...
Yeah, where do you expect to find those? In the police files?
Mrs. Williams is married to a man in the diamond business. As Lieutenant Calise suggested... It's reasonable to suppose he may have been issued a gun permit, in which case
no,
his finger...
No, no, now, all I want to do is to be left alone. Now, if you find I have a wife, let her come and identify me. Now, get out. Get out of here!
Lieutenant Calise?
Speaking.
This is Dr. Sedgefield.
Hi, Doc. You get anywhere with the guy?
I'm afraid not.
Oh. What's he scared of?
Well, Lieutenant, I can only answer you in general terms. See, it's a tremendous shock to the nervous system for anyone to find out that suddenly his whole life is a blank.
Yeah, if it is. Doc, how do we know this isn't just an act?
We don't. We just wait. If it is, he'll make a slip sooner or later.
Yeah, okay, Doc, we won't shake him up yet. Anyhow, what I'm looking for is another court order.
Oh, what kind?
I want in to the Williams house. I got a hunch between my shoulder blades talks to me as loud as my bunions. That FBI guy was right. Mrs. Williams is home all the time. And she's got a real good reason for not answering the phone.
Well, what reason?
Because she can't, Doc. And you know why she can't?
Why?
Because I think she's dead. That's why.
I'm not sure that I ought to be here, Lieutenant.
It's all perfectly legal, Mr. Anderson. I have a court order permitting me to enter the house.
It's all right for the police. You have a reason to search, but why me?
I thought you might like to be in at the death. Hey, it's a bad joke. Let's say I wanted to give you a break.
What do you mean, a break?
Well, if I find what I expect to find, it's going to be back on all the front pages and the TV. Drag up the whole crash story. Keep it alive. Now, I don't like to see the airlines hurt. They got too good a safety record for the few things that do go wrong to stir up such a racket.
Look, you seriously think that this man... murdered his wife and got caught by the incredible accident of our plane going down?
That's right. This amnesia jazz is just a cover-up. Or maybe soon will be... was just a cover-up.
It doesn't make sense. Lieutenant, why Hawaii? If he murdered her,
Why not Mexico, South America, Europe, anywhere, out of the state?
Because... I'll let you in on a little something the Hawaii police filled us in on. Mr. Theodore Mason Williams was booked into the Honolulu Sherry Hill. He had an appointment with some buyers the day after the flight landed to sell a little packet of diamonds he was bringing with him, valued at pretty close to $250,000. The payoff had been set up a week in advance, and the condition was the money was to be in cold, hard cash. Not a bad little getaway stake, huh? Okay, boys, I guess that's it. There, you drew a blank. Go on, you can all get back to regular duty. Barney, you wait for me in the car.
So, looks as if our boy isn't faking after all.
I don't know. All I know is I sure faked myself out. What are you doing?
Just rubbing some plaster or something off your sleeve.
I was sure I'd find her body in this house. Of course, he could have dumped her somewhere else, maybe even buried her in the garden.
You're still convinced that Mrs. Williams is dead?
Hey, when there's a homicide around, I can smell it every time. Plus, one little new
don't
gleam
don't
of...
Don't you try to what? Stop me, officer! I want to know who these men are!
Bronski, it's okay. I'll handle it. Now, wait a minute. Who are you?
Look, I think it's more to the point for me to ask that question. I'm Mrs. Theodore Williams, and I'd like to know just what the devil you're doing in my house.
Now, that's a shocker, isn't it? A woman consigned to death by a seasoned detective who turns up as large as life. A whole theory to fit an assorted set of facts blown to dust. And in the wake of it, the same old problem that has faced us since the beginning. Who is the lone survivor? And is Mrs. Williams the one who can give him back his identity? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
I guess I'm lucky. My family's always been healthy. Oh, a touch of constipation now and then. But we've got X-Lax for that.
When you need a laxative, shouldn't your first choice be the one more families buy than any other? That's today's X-Lax. Families like the chocolated taste. You'll like the way X-Lax works, gently overnight for relief in the morning. Next time, make gentle chocolated X-Lax your first choice for occasional use only as directed.
We've always been healthy, and X-Lax is part of that.
15 minutes. It's such a short time. But if your friend has had too much to drink and tries to drive, in 15 minutes, he could be dead. You could save him. Care for him. In the same 15 minutes, you could put him in a cab or drive him safely home yourself. 15 minutes. Take the time. If you don't and your friend dies, think of all the years you'll have to live with it. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message on behalf of the U.S. Department of Transportation.
United States Travel Service.
You probably know where to buy a standard 60-watt bulb, but do you know where to get a case of 8-foot fluorescent tubes? It's the same place you'd go for a 60-watt bulb, the True Value Hardware Store. Hotels, motels, restaurants, banks, offices, and factories, to name just a few, have found their True Value Hardware Store to be a complete and convenient General Electric light bulb source. You can find General Electric fluorescent tubes, blood and spotlight, colored bulbs, and much more, including a 60-watt bulb. And this Christmas, you'll also discover True Value Hardware stores to be a source of miniature Christmas lights for indoor and outdoor holiday decorating. So whether you're looking for a standard 60-watt bulb or a case of 8-foot fluorescent tubes, you'll find them all at your participating True Value Hardware store. WBBM Chicago.
So you're a True Value now. And
meet that. I'd have to put my long pants on then. I don't want to do that.
Oh, there was a flycatcher in here earlier. I wonder what happened. Oh well, maybe they'll return. Nice full house tonight in the chat. Thank you everyone for listening live with our story from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Yeah, Dave, a monkey wrench went into that. Aspect of the story. We try to figure out what's going on and who is this dude.
Yeah, well, another surprise. Next act. Actually, more than one surprise.
Ha!
I love knowing what's going to happen to you guys, though.
have either of you gone through any survival type training, anything remotely resembling survival training?
Boy Scout leadership training when we were sent out to the woods was my closest.
Oh, Boy Scouts for sure. I mean, they teach you to live off the land and stuff like that.
Stuff like that, yeah. What about you, CW?
I once went into a Best Buy on Black Friday.
Oh, wow. Wow. Ooh. That's
dangerous, man.
Apocalyptic is the word you're looking for.
I made it through some pretty rough automobile accidents. One, I had my jaw wired shut for 6 months. There was a motorcycle accident. I broke my collarbone on one side and my thumb on the other, so I had a cast on one side and the other arm was in a sling. That was fun. I was dumb, young and dumb. Yeah, young and dumb. I'm glad to be walking amongst you. Yep.
You sound like you're put together like a cyborg.
There's pieces, parts missing.
Yeah. Dale was officially the 6/10 of a dollar man. Yep.
Yes. And barely worth it.
I'm $6.50, but you beat me to it.
Yeah. Anybody
well,
who pays a dime for
I
me ought to get 11 cents change. What?
I cheated because, of course, as Dale knows, that was a sketch from Houlihan and Big Chuck show.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The 6/10 of a dollar man, yeah.
Yeah. The certain ethnic 6/10 of a dollar man.
I'm of the opinion right now, if Gar is still listening, by 21st century inflation, $6 million man would be, what, a $600 million man now?
Probably. I wouldn't mind a robot hand or something like that. That'd be cool.
Well, with the 3D prefab things, people are getting them fabricated like that versus the other ones, and they're putting devices in where a person can feel hot and cold in the artificial synthetic rather.
Well, no, see, that's the feeling part I don't want because I would like a bionic hand for grilling.
Oh, jeez.
You know, when you're out there grilling, you don't have little mishaps with your hand. You just show, I got to turn this coal over. No problem.
Oh my God. I'm sure you can probably unplug something or disconnect something. So you just dive right into the hot coals.
Yeah. No, serious survivalist training, I think maybe being in the Ohio National Guard. I was a lifeguard for a while, so I know CPR and artificial resuscitation. Oh, my wife has a funny story about artificial respiration. Okay. They used to train on this thing called the Resusa Annie. It was a torso that you would practice breathing, right? You'd put your head on the side, feel the chest going up and down. And I guess my wife also did some life-saving training, and the one kid was down there working on Resusa Annie, and the coach is saying, can you hear anything? Yeah, she said something. And the trainer said, what'd she say? He said, I can't feel my arms or legs. Oh my god, that kid probably went on to comedy gold, you know. That's funny.
Yeah, either that, or you sure that wasn't Wes Craven? Sounds like something Wes Craven would do.
I can't feel my arms or legs. I don't know how he came up with that. I'm stumped. Let's continue now with
Of course.
The Lone Survivor from CBS Radio Mystery Theater, saved by radio.
Now let us return to the three people we left a couple of minutes ago. Mr. Henderson, official of Federal Airlines, embarrassed beyond belief. Lieutenant Dom Calisi, for once in his life caught off guard, and the attractive, tall, willowy woman who has entered trailing with her an aura of sense and sensuality, all heightened by her barely controlled rage.
I'll say it again. Just what the devil right of you in my house? Which one of you is Detective Lieutenant Calisi?
That's me.
Huh. And this other man?
Mrs. Williams, with my apologies, I'm J.P. Henderson from Federal Airlines.
Oh, for the police, there might be some excuse, but for you... And how did you get in, Lieutenant?
Perfectly legal, Mrs. Williams. I had a court order to search the premises.
To ransack my house? Rummage through all my private possessions?
Well, not exactly. As you can see, Mrs. Williams, the police search was limited to one thing.
Yeah, for the purpose of ascertaining whether or not police suspicions that person or persons deceased may be... What deceased person? Who did you think was dead?
Well, begging your pardon, you, Mrs. Williams.
Me?
You have been missing for almost 3 days.
Oh, how do you know that?
Well, in the course of the investigation, naturally, we...
What investigation?
Let me handle this, Mr. Henderson. Mrs. Williams, did your husband catch a Federal Airlines flight for Hawaii the day before yesterday?
What business is that of yours?
Mrs. Williams, you know you don't have to answer my questions. You know your rights, but it seems harmless enough.
All right. If it's so important, there's no way I can deny it. I mean, I saw him off, headed for the plane and a business appointment in Honolulu. I suppose he took the plane. I didn't actually see him board it. Oh, please, won't you tell me what this is all about?
In my capacity as an officer of Federal Airlines, Mrs. Williams, I think you have every right to a full explanation. Now, first, let me assure you, your husband is perfectly safe. The man we assume to be your husband.
I just don't understand.
Of course you don't, obviously. Now, look, have you read a newspaper in the last 3 days? Listen to TV or radio?
No. You see, we have a little summer cabin I wanted to get ready on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
I drove down to put it in shape while Ted was off in Hawaii on business. There was a lot to be done. It's off season, so I didn't see any friends. I just holed up, did what had to be done, and came back here to meet my husband. Is he all right?
The man we believe to be your husband is alive and well. He's the lone survivor.
The lone survivor?
I'm sorry to say that. From a series of events quite beyond anyone's control, Flight 8657, bound for Hawaii, was forced to ditch in the Pacific about 50 miles off the shoreline.
Oh.
In spite of every action that could have been taken, the plane and all the passengers were lost, except one. Your husband.
My husband? But how do you know that he...
We have satisfactory identification on all other passengers and crew, with that one exception.
Well,
Why couldn't you identify him directly?
Your husband had been in the water some time. To make staying afloat easier, he had gotten rid of his clothing. There were no papers to identify him with.
Oh, but why couldn't you just ask him who he was? You said he was alive and well.
He is. But unfortunately, although the doctors seem to believe it's only a temporary condition, he has amnesia. He couldn't tell us who he was.
Oh, I see. But then how did you find out?
But Mr. Henderson explained that, Mrs. Williams. The police got called in to cross-check. Now, your husband wouldn't allow us to take a picture of him or fingerprint him for identification. So we checked with Honolulu, found out your husband was booked into a hotel there, and had a business deal on the fire.
We kept calling you, but there was no answer.
So I read the signals wrong. I thought maybe something had happened to you. What can I say? I'm sorry.
Just don't say anything. I want both of you out of my house this minute.
Now, wait a minute. Don't you want to go to the hospital and see your husband?
Look, I can manage to get there by myself.
Well, we'd like to go along. A matter of identification. We'd just like to be sure that he is your husband.
I don't need you to recognize my own husband.
No, it's just that we need you. Wait a minute. I'll tell you what. You got a picture of your husband here we could use for identification?
No. You see, Ted despised having pictures taken. Any time I did take one, he would tear it up. Now, will you please leave?
Mrs. Henderson, if I was in your position, I'd want to see my husband as fast as possible.
Yeah, Mr. Williams, I have a visitor for you.
Who, Dr. Sedgefield?
Let you see for yourself. Your wife.
All right, now. Don't get excited.
No!
Now, Mrs. Williams, are you...
Don't worry about me, Doctor. Just worry about that poor man. I'm sorry. I never saw him before in my life.
But it's impossible, Lieutenant. If he isn't her husband, who else can he be?
I knew my hunch couldn't be all that wrong. Now I see the whole thing. The dame is lying all the way.
You mean the man in the hospital room is Theodore Williams?
Him? No, I don't know who he is. We'll catch up with him. I knew before we even got to the hospital he wasn't her husband.
How?
Well, she said her husband doesn't like photographs, right?
Yes.
So how come suddenly in the fireplace of the study I find the ashes of some photograph albums and some old frames thrown away in the basement? But still hanging on the wall of the upstairs hall, there's a picture of the babe with a guy, and on the back of it says, Jackie and me, summer 1975, to my dear wife, from Ted.
And the man in it?
The guy, nothing here nor there. Except you couldn't mistake him for your patient. You know what the big question is?
I am afraid. What?
Well, it ain't so much who's in that hospital room. It's like in that TV show. Will the real Mr. Williams please stand up? Let me ask you a question. Just what do you suppose has happened to him? Detective Lieutenant Calisi.
This is Dr. Sedgefield, Center Hospital.
Oh, yeah, sure, Doc. How's your patient? He come to?
I wish that was what I had to report, but I'm afraid I have some bad news for you.
Yeah, what they make cops for, so there's some place to tell it. What's wrong?
Well, Lieutenant, I don't know how it happened. Someone was careless enough to leave a pile of clean, orderly uniforms in his, well, you know, in Mr. X's room.
Well, how could a thing like that happen?
I don't know. Some orderly was bringing them up from laundry and stopped in there, and I don't know how it happened. But I must say that your police guard wasn't on the ball either. He left the door unguarded to get coffee, and Mr. X put on one of the orderly suits and has simply disappeared.
Well, how do you like that?
Now the that we've stopped riding around like maniacs, maybe you'll explain to me what's going on, Lieutenant.
Oh, sure. Let's just pull over, find a nice spot where the reception's good. About 100 yards after the next crossroad, Bonnie, on the right. Yeah, off the road, under the trees.
Look, it's getting dark, but isn't this on the way to Mrs. Williams' house?
That's right. Just a couple of blocks away.
You think the man who escaped will be making for her house?
Yeah, I'm counting he will. Otherwise, it might make it tougher for us.
Well, supposing he doesn't?
Oh, he's being followed. He can't get away.
He already did. From the hospital.
Yeah, well, we made that easy for him. We knew the dude would make the first break he could.
The dude? You know who he is?
Oh, sure. More or less.
I don't understand.
Well, now, which name would you like? Benny Dude Tate? Bernard Tateson? Bartholomew Taft III? That's the one he's been using until his accident caused a temporary loss of memory. Or any of a long list of others. Listen, he's got a long record. Extortion, con games, womanizing, misrepresentation, grand larceny. Everything so far but the big M.
How did you find out who he is?
Look, this amnesia. I'm no doctor. I can't make a judgment on that. But give me some facts to add up. A guy who can't say who he is. A woman who says he's not a husband who was supposed to be on the plane. And at the same time says she has no pictures of her husband. Forgetting that the way people do, you know, one little picture hanging up on the hall stairs. I knew there was something out of whack. So my guy, standing guard, just picks up a glass. The nurse brings out. We lift the fingerprints. 3 hours later, we got a make. Benny the Dude.
I'm still completely bewildered. What was he doing on the plane, pretending to be Theodore Williams?
Hold it a minute. No, not yet. Look, Mr. Henderson, here's a guy who's a lot older than his wife, but he's got plenty of the long green. He's going to Hawaii with $250,000 worth of diamonds to deal with some guys who never met him. His wife is bored. She's been playing around with, guess who?
Benny the Dude.
Bernard, this time around. Now, suppose they get greedy and get a notion they could knock off Theodore and take off with the diamonds. Only, how not to get caught?
Bernard plans to go to Hawaii, posing as Williams. Only, what does he do? Sell the diamonds and get the money?
Well, maybe. Maybe he plans to check in a hotel, rough up the room, just disappear and take a plane back home. While the police figure Williams and the diamonds got heisted in Honolulu. I like that. More like Benny's M.O. and... that's what we're waiting for. Now, hold it.
Who is it?
Take it easy. It's me, Bernard.
What are you doing here? How'd you get in?
Listen, any dame tries to double-cross me, baby, finds out there's no way you can close me out.
What do you mean, double-cross?
The hospital today. Why didn't you tell him I was your husband? You could have sprung me.
Too dangerous. Too many people who knew Ted. Look, if we ever got connected and they found Ted where we... I mean, I don't want either of us convicted for murder.
You know something, baby? They can only hang you for it once. Too bad it didn't go as planned. It was all so simple. Diamond merchant travels to the city of romance and disappears overnight with his quarter grand of shinies. Then I come back and you and me walk hand in hand into the sunset with a nice green halo around our heads. Only it didn't pan out.
Did you really have amnesia?
Well, yeah, at first. Then when I came to, what other way was there to play it? Except, where were you?
Oh, Bernard, I couldn't stand being in this house. Knowing he was walled up in the basement, I just went to the summer camp to hide until you came back. But now it's all gone wrong. What are we going to do?
We ain't going to do nothing, baby. First thing I did was make sure the stones were still where they were. I got them now, and I'm taking off.
But what about me?
The diamonds were all I came back for, babe, except...
No. What are you going to do? No, Ted, please don't.
Good Lord, Lieutenant, what are you doing? You can't let him...
Oh, no, don't worry, Mr. Henderson. The house is crawling with cops. We were waiting for Benny to make his return.
You arranged the escape?
Oh, yeah.
And you planted microphones in the house to have them convict themselves.
Oh, correction on that. I wouldn't know just how those mics got there. You know as well as I do that isn't evidence can be used in court, even having you as a witness.
Well, then why?
Well, we don't want to let these people get away with it, do we, Mr. Henderson? I'm not going to. Now, I've got the hard police work to do, digging up enough objective evidence to make a case. But you and the airlines can help me now that you know the truth. Deal?
It's a deal. What tragic irony. All those lives, innocent people, and one man escapes. The only one who deserves to die. The lone survivor.
Oh, I think between us we can arrange that Benny and Mrs. Williams won't survive all that long.
An intriguing maze of twists and turns, wasn't it? Ending in the old, old story of lust and greed. But the old axiom is still true. Man proposes, God disposes. And a sharp-eyed lieutenant who realized that the dust on his shoulder was fresh plaster and that one photograph is worth a thousand words contributed a worthy assist. I'll be back shortly.
The most important people is people first began. Our children, 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 for the child is father of the man. The baby is our future, the mice went to Japan. So care about the children, for the child is father of the man. The future of the world depends on what the children do. And you lift up for help, you help the children to help you. So do your most and give your most.
Gave this song to UNICEF. The Tucson Boys Choir gave their talent. To learn what you can give, call your local UNICEF committee or write UNICEF, United Nations, New York.
The child is father of the
It was John Donne, the great English poet, who said it. No man is an island entire of itself. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. The profound philosophy would have escaped a man who lived only for himself, like Benny, or as selfish and unfeeling a woman as Jackie. Yet the words will serve well enough for their epitaph. They were found guilty of the murder of Theodore Williams. So at the last, in this tragedy, there were no survivors. Our cast included Russell Horton, Ian Martin, Bryna Rayburn, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
You walk out. And I'll see that the guards will let you through.
But
he won't remember that nothing happened. He won't remember a thing. Just keep your head. Now, come. Come in. You see, there he is, sprawled on his couch. Listen to him. There, behold the great lover. Dead to the world. He can sleep like this for days. You're going to have a very dull night.
Where are you going? Don't leave me, please.
I'll have to lock you in. But I'll open the door at dawn to let you out.
Oh, don't go. Please don't go.
A shame you didn't bring anything to nip.
Oh, don't leave me alone. Don't leave me.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
McAfee.
McMillan and White.
Yep.
He touched me.
Oh.
He put his hand near mine and then he touched me.
And suddenly nothing is the same.
When he touched me, a spark glow, a glow.
Touch her with Chantilly by Who Be Gone.
Touched me. He put me on the casting couch, and then he touched me.
Hello, human resources. Hello, human resources. Yes.
Yes.
I have a complaint. HR.
That whole song sounds like a Me Too moment. That whole song.
It does.
Yes, I can ruin anything, can't I? Except for that show. That was a good one from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, all the twists and turns. They threw us down the rabbit hole, and we came up through the gopher hole.
And, Blog Talk willing, three programs for you tomorrow night at 6:30 Eastern. What we intended to play yesterday was Mysterious Traveler, Family Theater, and Crisis. We'll just do that tomorrow.
We're going to try.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah,
because we have all this spare time on our hands.
Oh,
Blog Talk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Blog Talk. Yeah, they'll probably blame it. It's not our fault. We got hit by a earthquake, a eclipse, a tidal wave, and Slim Whitman wasn't here to help us drive back the Martians.
Well, all they had to do was come to us, you know.
What is that?
Here it is. Secret weapon.
That's right. All they have to do. We have the answer for everything. We have your survival piece right there. Just in case of Martians.
From Slim Whitman to the yodeling pickle to the screaming goat.
All kinds of survival there. And I did kind of, sort of, maybe kind of had a little bit of a moral to the story.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if I were ready, this would have been smooth. Eerie House Radio proudly presents a Garrulous Moral, the story.
Apologies to Gar. If you're dead, but you're not, and you have amnesia, but you don't, and you meet your wife, but she's not, then you're probably part of a CBS Radio Mystery Theater. That's it. I like the turkey you taught there. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
The turkey Tarzan combo. Serving it up for you tonight. But wait, there's more, Bob. You're welcome for the show, but there's more. There's more.
Hey, folks, we made it.
Hooray! All right.
Yep.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. He's been in the chat for a bit. Finally dropped in for us just in time for maybe, I don't know, a little tug on the wheel.
Well,
anyone?
We have one person that's really good on tugging that wheel. That ain't me.
Well, that would be me.
That would be
yes,
you.
Yes. My work
spin
is
it,
done.
Spin it extra hard so that, who knows, maybe we'll get two for one.
Ooh, okay.
Possible.
Any tremors that you feel, it's because the wheel is now being spun.
Whoa, yes, she's moving.
Around, around she goes, and where she stops, nobody knows.
I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way. When they are flecked with brown and have a golden hue, bananas taste the best and are the best for you. You can put them in a salad, you can put them in a pie, any way you want to eat them, it's impossible to beat them. But bananas like the climate of the very, very tropical equator, so you should never put bananas in the refrigerator. Banana y puedo afirmar con plátano maduro no hay cosa igual cuando está manchadito con tintes dorados es siempre sabrosito, no hay mejor bocado, delicioso en ensalada, delicioso en un pastel, ay, no importa cómo se coma, grato es su sabor y aroma, pero el plátano prefiere el calorcito tropical del Ecuador, por lo tanto jamás lo ponga en refrigerador. I'm Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say I come from little islands on Equator Way. I sail on big banana boats from Caribbee to see if I can help good neighbor policy. I bring a song about bananas. I sing it low, I sing it high. I make big hits with Americano, singing song about bananas. I could sing about the moonlight on a very, very tropical equator. But no, I sing about bananas and the refrigerator. No, 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 no.
Come here, Gull Dern, you. Take that. And that. And that.
That's right. Slap her down again, paw. Slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us
wow.
Where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kids. Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again.
Wow.
Well, Pa and Ma were so darn sore they woke me up one night. There was an awful cussing, and Ma said Pa was right. They was a-waiting Sister Bess who never kept her word. The sun came up as Bess came in, and this is what I heard.
Whoa.
Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again.
Wow.
Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again,
our
Pa, slap her down again.
Unquote.
Now poor old Bess got so darn mad she ran away one day to meet that traveling salesman with city slicking ways. We ran and stood beside the road with shotguns by our side. Me and Deacon Pa and Ma who yelled as they came by.
Why don't you slap her down again, Pa? Slap her down again.
Yeah! Make her tell us more, Pa! Tell us where she's been!
You know that we don't want our neighbors talking about our kin.
Slap her down again, Pa! Slap her down again!
Now Ma and Pa, they planned for Bess to marry Deacon Brown and not that traveling salesman who always came around. They made poor Bessie go to church, her face was mighty red. The deacon took one look at her, and this is what he said. Oh, slap her down again.
Wow.
Slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa. Tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kin. Slap her down again, Pa. Slap her down again.
Unquote.
Arthur Godfrey.
Boy, that's hot stuff, ain't it? Well, the moral of the story, girls, is don't stay out too late unless you take your shoes off outside your pappy's gate. If Ma don't hear you coming in, she won't lay down the law, and you won't have to worry, cause she won't sing out to Pa. Oh,
slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again. Make her tell us more, Pa, tell us where she's been. We don't want our neighbors talking about our kids. Slap her down again, Pa, slap her down again.
Take that, and that, and that.
Good Lord. Arthur Godfrey yet.
Welcome to Erie House Edition, the Human Resources program. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Wow.
I know. And it's like, Arthur Godfrey, really? Come on, dude.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. That was really motivational for all the wives and fiancés and daughters out there. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Needless to say, that's a little bit of a dated tune there.
you think just a tad?
And I'm going to squirm my way out of this uncomfortable situation with a little something from Cliff Edwards.
Yeah, there you go.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. Anything your heart desires will come to you. If your heart is in your dream, no request is too extreme. When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do, fate is kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing. Like a bolt out of the blue, suddenly it comes in view. When you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. When a star is born, they possess a gift or two. One of them is this: they have the power to make a wish come true.
When you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are.
Anything your heart desires will come to you.
If your heart is in your dream, no request.
When you wish upon a star, as dreamers do,
maybe it's kind. She brings to those who love the sweet fulfillment of their secret longing.
Ooh. Like a bolt out of the blue, suddenly it comes in view. When you wish upon a star, your dream comes
radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million. 150 million people. That's all.
Sounded like Shirley Bassey a little bit.
It is, yeah, it is.
It was her? Okay.
It was her, yes.
Thank you, Shirley.
Shirley Bassey.
Worth the money to pay her. Yeah.
What was that, CW?
That's Dame Shirley Bassey, OBE, Order of the British Empire.
Blimey.
She was knighted by her late Royal Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And richly deserved.
Yes. She had a powerful, powerful set of lungs.
Holy crap. If you ever want to hear her, listen to the theme from the Bond movie Goldfinger.
Yes.
That will blast your wall.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Yes. As opposed to Slap Her Down Again.
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah, that clearly came from the south of the Mason-Dixon.
Yeah.
I think they tried to portray that in the song. I hope that was parody and not something that we would endorse, that sort of behavior.
We do not. We do not.
Yes, well, we should play the rival to that particular song, Pistol Packin' Mama, Lay That Pistol Down, Pistol Packin' Mama. That was the answer to Slap Her Down Again, Pistol Packin' Mama.
Sure. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of that handy.
Yeah, we have it, but not handy, yes.
Yeah. Good tune.
I'm just giving smelling salts to Sister Knucklebuster over here. She collapsed when she heard that one.
Sister Mary, she's in the same convent with Sister Mary Bloody Knuckles. Yep.
Oh, exactly. And we had a bit of fond farewell back. She went back to the old Emerald Isle to Sister Old Slapper Hands. She said she'll be back for next St. Patty's Day.
There we go. Oh, good, good. We miss her. She's a sweetie. Anywho, again, tomorrow it's a makeup show for what didn't happen last night with Mysterious Traveler, Family Theater, and Crisis. And it'll be real easy for me to make an ad. I'm just going to X out the old date. That's only to mock Blog Talk.
Yep,
which they deserve.
I did like the sign. I did like the sign you put up there in the chat, where it had the where it had what? Who? Hang on, I'm going up there. Where it had Lugosi and Karloff and Laurie, and
yes.
It says, "We blame you, Blog Talk."
Yeah, they all look very stern. We blame you, Blog Talk. Yeah, I'm about as subtle as a wet brick in the forehead.
Yep, that's okay.
At least people know where I'm coming from when you're blunt.
That's true.
You're not trying to pussyfoot around, you know, you go right for it. That's my motto. Want to thank Fogsbane, good old Bob, Snowman James, and even that flycatcher dude that was here for a moment. He went to catch flies, I guess. I don't know. But we'll see you tomorrow night, those that what can make it, at 6:30 Eastern. Until then, thanks.
Castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
Then her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone. Don't come alone.
Get on over to them twitches.
Can you dig it?
Catch Gargamel.
Twitch.
Bedrock. Twitch.
Show starts in 1 minute.
What?
What?
Blog Talk, I wouldn't have been... If that was Blog Talk, I wouldn't have been surprised.
Not in the least.
Oh. I actually felt anger in your message yesterday, Dave. You were not amused.
I was not amused by the crap that we put through up with for the money that goes into this from you.
Yep.
You know, and the effort we all put in to be here and try and be here. And this last half year has been absolutely horrid for Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, it has. Okay. And it's probably time to put a well-placed foot and make our escape. But first, we got to recover everything out of the library, 813 shows we got to download. plus, I'd like to save the old Creepy Castle stuff, too, so for posterity. Yep.
Wow, that's going to take a bit.
Yeah, got to do what we got to do. But naturally, you're going to be in on all of it. You're going to be in on all of it.
Oh, thank you.
We believe it's going to work the same way. Live chat, sound bites, the whole nine yards. So,
and we can archive all the old ones over on CastBox.
Yep.
We can do that, and it'll save them there.
Oh, that's cool. Good.
Or what is the other one? Or whichever, SoundCloud? Or do they charge on that one? I don't know.
Mixcloud? I don't think we can broadcast live on that.
Yeah, there's not really that kind of option. But the good option is if we do make some pre-records, they pay the royalties and you can play anything.
Yeah, we can play anything musically. So we were thinking of doing specialty shows there. Yeah. I'd like to do something like I had an opportunity to do an actual AM radio program, a Halloween night thing. And Dave, I think you have a copy of it.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And at first it was a little off balance. It took me a while to get in sync with the guy who was running the soundboard. They opted not to let me run the soundboard, even though I almost begged them to. You know what I mean? Just for timing with my own patter of speech or whatever for transitions. And they couldn't mix anything either. You couldn't you couldn't have songs blend over each other. One had to come to a complete stop before you started the next one. And that bothers me too as a former disc jockey. I'm used to keeping the action going. No dead air at all,
right.
You know, especially when you have
it right
music.
In. Yep, bleed it right in one end to the next. That works.
Yeah. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
But
nice.
But you could tell as the show went on, I started syncing up with these guys pretty darn good, and it was a lot of fun. Much like Dave themes up the shows here, I themed up every block of music between the commercial breaks and stuff like that. Like, you know, there was a vampire set and a werewolf set and a horror TV set, and it was cool. I got to do everything I would have liked to have done. Gave away pizzas too. I got a few people to sponsor the show and sold some ads myself for it. It was really cool, but I think we could do something comparable on Mixcloud, except that it's pre-recorded.
Yep, it's a pre-record.
Okay.
And who knows, maybe some multimedia thing with old-time radio and modern stuff mixed in, too, Dave and I have talked about.
Fabulous. Can have a total mulligan stew.
Yeah. I don't know what the time length you have with Mixcloud, like how long of a show, but it'd be fun to edit something together that's like several hours long for a real super Halloween treat. So, you know what I mean? Have the very best of some really terrifying old-time radio mixed in with some music and just some other special stuff that I know we could come up with.
Absolutely. A little bit of Lovecraft thrown in there, a little Poe.
Sure. Abby-tag, the ultimate Halloween radio program. That would be my goal in life.
It's really a shame because Blog Talk is for more money from what I've seen on their website. You know, they're upping their rates and their quality is
The quality of the service has gone down. It's just, it's become ridiculous at this point. It just is. It's a shame. I have fond memories of you know, early stuff doing my very, very first show I did a solo way back when. It's Dale K. Spook Show. If you go back into the history, the very first one. And it was pretty lame. It's hard to do, especially if you're not used to broadcasting, to do this by yourself. That's why I'm so grateful I teamed up with Dave, and then Dave inspired me to do this old-time radio thing with him. And it's been great. Very shortly after, Gar came along, and then you're here, and it's been an awesome ride. It's been an awesome ride at Vlog Talk. It has, but they're pissing me off.
Still scratching my head as to how I got here. I don't know. I don't remember.
When you were in the chat, we goaded you to call in, and you actually called in. And then we goaded you to call in again, and you called in again. And before you know it, every night she's not at the WORK thing, she usually calls in.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and my ego.
You have a lot to share. You do.
And you add a lot of color to the show here. It's great to have a female, since it's been us three guys for a little bit. It is excellent to have a female perspective and keep us out of trouble.
Thank you.
Almost keep us out of trouble.
Yeah, mostly.
Well, I keep the ruler, the yardstick, and the shillelagh at the ready. So just in case.
Don't hit me too much. I might get to like it.
Wait just a second. I need the smelling salt now. Okay.
I'm looking for a Three Stooges sound effect of conk on the head or something here that would be appropriate.
You going to slap her down again, Dale?
No. I was thinking the other way around. She ought to smack me. That's all right. She can always put a banana under my shoe and then, you know, fall down. There you go.
Banana under your shoe versus putting it in the refrigerator.
Yeah, you can't do that from what I've heard.
Yeah,
recently. You know, I went, I told you I went to that place, Dave, where we get our Easter meats. Sorry about this, CW, but they have the greatest meat count in the world. I saw some bananas. I'm like, oh, these are kind of green. Or what I thought were bananas. These are kind of green. I'm gonna buy these. They'll last a while. It's going to be a couple days before I get to eating them. So I get to eating one, and I'm like, it's still green. It's a freaking plantain.
Yes. I've discovered those recently myself, yeah.
Yeah, I got mad and tossed it. I should have sliced it up and tried to fry it or something. Aren't fried plantains good?
Yeah.
They were like hard
as
a rock when you're expecting a banana and you get this like rock-like substance.
Yeah, I've had some fried. I've had some fried or baked.
Yeah.
And I think, maybe it'll taste a little like a banana. It didn't. No.
Yeah, it's kind of like a bland
chip.
They
look like baby bananas. They may look like baby bananas, but they ain't. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's tons of recipes where you can do something with it. You can put a little herbs and spices on there, perhaps a touch of honey to give it a sweeter flavor, but you know, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger.
Dynamite would be good.
Dynamite, yeah.
I was not pleased with the plantain. Pally eats bananas. He's like,
does
not
he?
Sure at first, but then he'll eventually eat it. Oh, yeah. I've seen people feed their dogs, and especially collies, bananas. In fact, I saw a video somebody put up of the collie eating a blueberry. It took a blueberry, and it's just like, yeah, I'll take this. Thanks. I'm like, really?
Okay. Well, I know. I've seen dogs eat avocados.
Poor dog. Was it frothing at the mouth?
No, it seemed to enjoy it immensely.
Oh, okay. Why not? Let the dog have it. I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah. Why not indeed, yes.
Kidding. Yeah. But gentlemen, I must be away until tomorrow, same time.
Same channel.
Tomorrow, same time. Exactly.
Yes.
So you have one more duty. You have one more duty to take care of tonight, then?
Oh, yes, of course. Mr. Durante, if you could kindly slap down the keyboard versus slapping down anybody else, we'd be ever so grateful.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say goodnight.
Good night.
What more is this say but goodnight? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Aribo, up we say, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Hopefully she's not getting slapped down.
Oh, I had a soundbite. I couldn't find it in time.
Here's Johnny!
Oh, I couldn't find it in time. It would have been great.
Ah, yeah, the double yodel there. We'll be safe from Martians for years now. At least